Hey, but right now, on a day that's higher in the grains, I always love bringing on Mike Kruger on a day when the grain market is higher. So thanks, Mike, for your part.
I appreciate that. As we've said before, I don't like to talk when markets are crummy, and today was a good day.
Indeed. Well, we've got, what, weather delays? Did we have any export news? What was pushing the markets today?
You know, no, there were no export sales announcements this morning. There were some yesterday, and of course, tomorrow morning we get the weekly report at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Interesting morning this morning. You know, we started, we were steady, maybe a little slightly lower overnight, and that's where we started. Then like at, I don't know, sometime between 9 and 10 this morning, the corn market, you know, absolutely started to erupt, and beans were up as much as 18 to 20, and the wheat market followed. And then around noon, we backed off. But this corn market, you know, came right back. It's going to finish the day 14, 15 higher. That's a little bit off the day's highs, but really not much. And, of course, everyone was scratching their heads, tweeting, texting, making phone calls to figure out what happened. And so then all the guesses started to come out. And I don't know if there was any one thing that pushed this market higher. Funds obviously triggered the up move, especially in corn. Wheat and soybeans settled back a little bit. But there just seems to be a growing belief that the USDA's estimate of corn demand, both exports and ethanol, is understated. This ethanol market has been good. Margins have been strong. ADM made the announcement this week they're going to convert some plants to put ethanol into jet fuel. So there's, you know, for two or three or four years, people keep saying that this ethanol game is slowing and consumption is going to be down, and it's going the other way. So that's part of it. I think part of it also is more rain across the Corn Belt, including up here, which continues to slow harvest. And harvest isn't really behind. But I think the other factor, maybe on the edge, is that I'm beginning to hear of field losses. Some crop insurance adjusters have been saying lately that in some cases, 20, 25, 30% of the cobs are on the field, you know, lying on the ground. Days like yesterday when you have 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts and dry, very dry corn plants and not the healthiest because of the drought. So, you know, there's half the corn harvest left across the U.S. Yes, eventually field loss could be significant. So I think just all those things combined, all of a sudden the funds kicked back in and they bought wheat for a while, although today Chicago wheat is going to be 8 or 9 higher at the end in Minneapolis, basically unchanged. And I do believe that that's just a function of the funds are reluctant to play in Minneapolis because it's a small market,
yeah,
you know, volume wise. So if the funds decide to engage in wheat, they're going to start with Chicago.
Yeah. Those funds, crazy. Where can
crazy
I park?
Funds.
Yeah. Where can I park $1 billion for a few hours and make a couple hundred thousand, but, you know, amazing line of thinking.
Or a few minutes.
Yeah.
Or a few minutes, you know, it's crazy, and that's what's still difficult after all these years of the fund engagement, is that we don't understand that we think in terms of days, weeks, months, maybe into next year in terms of new crop and what might happen. These funds are trading minutes and the logarithms, and, you know, they don't care about what's going on. They're just in for that, the quick thrill and hopefully profits, as you said. And they are long corn, and they've been long a little bit of beans, but they have been short Chicago wheat. Not much, but short Chicago wheat. And, you know, we've talked for weeks that wheat is really going to be the leader, I think, over the next several months.
Okay. All right. Good thoughts there. Mike Kruger on the radio once a week. Compliments of Richland IFC. Whether it's the fertilizer situation or other factors, maybe it's time to talk food-grade soybeans for next year.
Well, you know, there's a lot of chatter. That was another probably a piece of today's corn market rally, is fertilizer prices. Anhydrous, I saw today for spring application in some parts of the Corn Belt, is up around $1,200 a ton. I mean, that's crazy high in some parts of the world, and maybe even in some parts of the U.S., anhydrous and ammonium nitrate. You know, corn needs nitrogen fertilizer are at record all-time highs. So the market's looking at that and saying, gee, that may mean that we're going to plant less corn and more soybeans, because soybeans don't require much of any nitrogen fertilizer. So that could have been in the mix too. So that's got people saying, well, we might have a lot more soybean acres next year, and, you know, maybe that's a little bit bearish relative to corn. I think it's too early to tell that, but there's no question that food grade soybeans need more acres in 2022. And Richland IFC, which has been, you know, a leader in that industry for 30 years or so, develops their own plant genetics for food grade soybeans. They've upped their premiums for food grade soybeans for 2022 by 60-70%. So now you're talking about premium for certain types of food grade soybeans of as much as $6 or more over next November's soybean futures, which tonight is going to close around 12:40. So you can lock in some of your 2022 food grade soybeans for 18 to 19 bucks a bushel. And I mean, those are just awesome numbers. That the food grade soybean market, obviously most of that's produced up in this part of the world where yields were hurt because of drought. Demand continues to grow. Japan at some point doesn't care what they pay for them. They just want to get them. So we're going to try to see food grade soybeans acreage double in 2022. And Richland is leading the charge on that.
Boy, beans in the teens, everybody gets excited when it's 12 to 13, but you're talking 18 to 19. So who do
for
they?
Certain types of food grade. Yep. For certain types of food grade beans. Jake is the man, and his number at Richland IFC is 218-643-1797.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, we'll give that number again at the end of our visit. Mike, so wind higher, nice day in corn again today. Is it possible today's rally in corn started yesterday mid-morning?
Could have been. You know, everything was really hot for a while. Stemmy used to be the old word in the grain business. When things were super strong for no obvious reason, people would say the markets are a little bit stemmy today. I think, you know, it's funny. People have wanted to be bearish corn and beans since the last couple of USDA reports, and we are below the highs. But now with some people are saying, gee, this market doesn't want to go down very badly. So maybe there's something going on in the background that we ought to pay attention to. And I think that's demand.
Now, and of course, demand for things like renewable diesel, ethanol, into jet fuel, so many, the energy crunch, and of course, the climate crunch. There's a lot of factors that I guess we would have never considered as drivers of the grain markets 5 years ago.
Well, and, you know, one thing that we've mentioned a few times that people want to be bearish soybeans. I mean, this biofuels, biodiesel, the vegetable oil side of that equation could just be enormous. It could really be a game changer. And there are more stories about that this week. And it's not the U.S. that's driving that yet. It's the rest of the world. It's places like Indonesia and South America that are trying to encourage vegetable oil. And that can be palm oil. It can be canola, sunflower oil, soybean oil, but that's going to take away the world surplus of vegetable oils in a hurry. And some people think there's not really going to be anything that's going to stop that. And just as another side note, sunflowers and canola oil, very high oil crops, 40 to 50% oil compared to soybean oil that's 18, 19%. So they'd be the crops that would benefit if this world consumption of biofuels, vegetable oil and biofuels is going to be the next one to watch.
Yeah, I believe it was Arlen Suderman the other day said that the world could use 30 million more acres of soybeans.
Yeah.
That's a bunch.
That's interesting comment because it's impossible, I think, this day and age to find that many more acres of soybeans. And if you found the acres, it would take you several years to find enough planting seed. But that's the magnitude that some people are looking at. And it was two or three months ago, I think, we chatted about Rabobank's viewpoint of biofuels and consumption of vegetable oils. And that thing is just slowly gaining some momentum.
All righty. Mike Kruger, how do guys get a hold of Richland IFC to talk food-grade soybeans for next year?
They need to call Jake. Contracts and food grade soybeans are production contracts, remember, not bushel contracts. So you owe them what you produce. And his number is 218-643-1797.
Gotcha. Hey, Mike, have a good rest of the week. Thank you. And we'll chat again next week.
Sounds good. Oh, my goodness. You're right. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Mick.
You betcha.